Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 21 with Samurai Del Viento. Yes, I'm very honored and grateful to have him on today. How you doing, brother? Hello, are you on there? I can't hear you. Let me see. Something's going on here. It looks like technical difficulties. Let me check again. Okay, maybe he's going to call in again. Okay, yep. So we're getting back to him. Let me see. Yes, but today, okay, let's try this again. Samurai Del Viento.
Hey, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
How's everything doing?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it a lot.
All right. So our usual first-timer question is, what got you in the crazy world of professional wrestling?
Oh, what got me into the crazy world of professional wrestling?
Whew.
I like this question, you know, because that's the kind of question that makes you think that, you know, what gets you into, you know, what got you involved into this? Me personally, what got me into the world of professional wrestling is, you can say, well, family. It got me into it. You know, growing up, I used to watch wrestling, like, especially like AAA, CMLL, you know, watching those events, those shows from TV, me thinking, you know, like, I really want to do this when I grow up. You know, I really want to be a professional wrestler. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always wanted to be a professional wrestler. Then, you know, my mom, she's a big wrestling fan. My grandpa was a big wrestling fan. So to the point where, you know, like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a professional wrestler. And, you know, in 2011, I started training to become a professional wrestler, you know, and honestly, that that is one of the best choices I've ever made in my life.
Right on. And then, of course, you started out in Lucha Libre, right?
Yes.
And then you've got various styles. You can do American, and of course you got samurai on your name. Looks like you incorporated a little bit of Oriental style too.
Yep, strong style. You got it.
Okay.
So, you know, like the basis. You say it again?
No, go ahead.
I was saying, you know, like the basis of, you know, professional wrestling. You gotta learn all those styles. You know, you can't just focus on one style, because at the end of the day, wrestling, it is a multi. It has different styles, obviously, and you just don't want to be stuck up in just one style. You want to learn all the styles that you can, you know.
Yeah, definitely, and it makes you more valuable as a wrestler and as a worker.
Yeah.
And then, so who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was sports, music, wrestling, or ordinary life, or all of them?
Sports, I will say my auntie, Lady Apache. She's one of the biggest female wrestlers in the world right now. She actually inspires me a lot of, you know, because she's an amazing wrestler, and she's amazing at what she does and stuff. And, like, you know, I talk to her here and there when I need advice, especially, you know, on bigger shows or big events or a big match, you know. Music, I love music. I love all kinds of music, but I don't really have a kind of like a hero, you say, with music. I love music. I can't decide.
Okay.
And
how about wrestling?
Wrestling, like I said, Lady Apache, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio. You'll say some people are going to be. Hero, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Lady Apache, Abismo Negro, Místico, the original Místico. So many to name, but I just stick with those.
Okay. We got time. Okay. All right. Well, then you've done a few different characters. Tell us about your other characters you've worked.
So the other characters I worked at. So when I got involved into professional wrestling, obviously I was trying to find a name for myself, you know, like, okay, what should I be? Chicano, who I forgot to mention, he's also one of my heroes. He's basically a father figure to me. He's been knowing me ever since I can remember. His name is Chicano. And I remember that I was going to debut in February 19th, 2012, right? And I'm like, okay, I don't have a name. And I talked to him. I was like, hey, I don't have a name. I can't decide on what to be. What identifies me? So obviously, you know, when you find a character or when you find something that represents you, you want it to be represented in a way where, like, you're like, okay, cool. Am I going to be, you know, what's the name? What's the style? What's the design? What are the colors I'm going to wear? So he was like, why don't you start as Chicano Junior? You know, be my junior for now until you find your name. I'm like, sure. Obviously, I did wrestle and debuted as Chicano Junior. That was actually fun. And, you know, forever, I'm always going to have the name with me because that's how it started. So Chicano Junior, you know, went on. I was still, you know, I, you know that I trained at Bocanica, and I was there for a lot of years. We all sat down, the coach, the trainer, everybody else, and we're like, you know, I need to change my name. You know, I want to change my name. I need to find something that is me, you know, something that represents me. Obviously, when I started when I started professional wrestling, I had like a really good jumping ability and like, you know, flying and stuff. And I'm like, you know what, you know, like this is cool. I like this. And you know, they all started talking and they're like, you know, we came with the idea. I was like, what should we, you know, what should be our name? My name. And you know, then someone said Viento, and I'm like, Viento, the wind. And I put, you know, 1 + 1 together, add them up. Okay, cool. I can fly. You know, I can jump, do this, do that. And that's a good name for it, Viento. So throughout those years, I only said as Viento, right? And then as soon as I got out of Volcanica, I was like, you know what? I need to find something else that way, you know, when they say Viento, they think of just me, like just me, not, you know, not the past, but just me. So I was like, okay, yeah. I'm going to name myself as Viento Celestial. So I called it, in English, it's the heavenly wind. I stuck with that name for a few years. And honestly, that name, that actually gave me, you know, it was a good choice at the time. That gave me really good, that name gave me really good matches. I wrestled my best friend, Septimo Dragon, with that name. And, you know, I went back to Volcanica, so I went back as Viento Celestial again. And then when I got Volcanica again, I was like, you know what? It's time to change my name. I was like, what do I like? What I've always been a fan of samurais, you know, ever since I was little. I've always liked the culture, the Japanese culture, you know. And I believe, you know, samurais are one of the best warriors that ever existed. And, you know, I was like, you know what? Samurai del Viento. And I was like, Samurai del Viento. I'm going to name myself Samurai del Viento. So, of course, I got, you know, I designed a new mask, alternate my mask to have it with, you know, like the black mask. It has like the logo and the straps on the back. And honestly, up to now, that is my name right now, Samurai del Viento.
Right on, yes, and you've been impressive. And we're hoping to go to Korea one of these times here soon and love to take you down there with us. Korea is one of our top merchandise sales, and our top listeners and followers are from South Korea. And get you a little bit closer to the samurais of Japan over there. But first things first, you know, you get over there to Asia, be nice.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be a really good and amazing, you know, trip. Also to taste the food.
Exactly.
Who doesn't love food?
I know, huh? Okay, and then I see that you did some sports in high school. Why don't you tell the fans about the sports you played in high school and growing up?
So growing up, I've always, like I said, going back to my childhood, I've always been into martial arts, right? I've done karate, taekwondo, kung fu. You know, when I was little, I had this sensei who was missing an arm, and he had his dojo. It was literally, well, this was in Mexico I was born in Mexico. I didn't grow up there, but I lived there for a little bit. So he had his dojo. So it was raining. And I remember this moment that he took us outside and we started training in the rain. You know, I don't know why he did that, but now every time it rains, I just think of that moment. But growing up, I did soccer. I'm really horrible at it. Super horrible. I did, in high school, I did, my first sport that I ever did was wrestling because, you know, I was like, I was that with the same mentality. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a wrestler, so I need to learn the basics and, you know, something. Because obviously, in order to get your wrestling license, you need to learn how to do, you know, collision style, Greco-Roman style, submission wrestling, tumbling, and then pro wrestling. So I was like, okay, cool, you know, I'm going to do wrestling. So I did that. I was 100, almost 200 pounds when I was a freshman in high school. I did wrestling for that year. Second year, my sophomore year, I did football. I was a linebacker. I was like a super small linebacker. And then after that, I went to wrestling again, you know, slightly got better. And then my junior to my sophomore to junior year, that's when I decided to, you know, be more serious about my sports. So that year I had to miss football because I had a surgery. They had to take my wisdom teeth out. So they were like, you know, we're going to, you know, put you to sleep, this and that. Okay, cool. You know, they took my wisdom teeth out. So I decided during the summer while I was healing up, I was just going to lose weight. Luckily, I lost close to 65 pounds that year.
Damn.
So when I went when I went back to school, I was like 189 back then, and then I dropped down to almost 145, 150, something like that.
Jeez.
Can't do
wow.
that. yeah. So I went back to wrestling. My junior year, one of the captains, one of the wrestling captains. And after wrestling, you know, I did track. So after I did track for that year, and then I was going to do, and then my senior year, I did football. And then I did wrestling again, and then I did track. And then after high school, I decided to go to college. So luckily, I was able to make it to the wrestling team in college, and you know, Highland Community College. Got in there, you know, one thing leads to another. I did get into the wrestling team, but you know, when you're in college and stuff, you're like, okay, cool. You know, I want to get my life together. So, you know, time to work. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to stay my second year there, but, you know, I had to drop out. But one thing, like I said, one thing led to another. I found a professional wrestling school, and I started going there.
Right on. Yeah, that what an accomplishment. So you wrestled for Highland Community College for a while.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay, and then, so who are some of your favorite people to work?
That's a good question. Of course, Septimo Dragon, my best friend, my brother. Sonico. He was one of my favorite people to work with. Akuma from CMLL. He taught me a lot during one of our matches that we had, and honestly, it you know, that was a good match. I just leave it at that, but, you know, he taught me a lot. one of my professors at Metallico, wrestling legend, he taught me a lot too, but working with him, he's such a smooth wrestler that you know, it's amazing. Who else gonna be? Wild Lau. I love working with him.
You guys have had some great matches.
Yes, we've had, and I love working with him. He's awesome, amazing wrestler. Yeah, that's who I can think of right now.
Okay, man, and you've worked all over the country, Washington, Arizona, Oregon, Alaska, Pennsylvania, to name a few. What's some of your favorite places to work?
Honestly, Alaska, hands down.
Okay, yeah, nice. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I never thought myself I was going to be... Say it again?
Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, so... how that started... So I did... So after I wrestled Septimo Dragon, the New Year's happened, so I wrestled for CPW. And YT Jones was there. And, you know, he saw my match against Phoenix Kid. And then he got really interested in me and he said, I'll talk to whoever. Next thing you know, I got my plane ticket to Alaska. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy crap, like, I'm going to Alaska. And, you know, I got there. Obviously, I wrestled Sid Snot. I heard that he was from the UK. And obviously, I was like, you know what? This is a good match, UK versus Mexico. You know, I was like, you know, like, you, when you go to a different place and you wrestle someone from a different, you know, from a different country, you're, like, there to represent your, you know, your country, your style, your, obviously, you're there to give it your all. Right?
Yeah.
So, first when I saw him, he's, like, really tall, taller than me. And I was like, holy crap, he's just this fucking, you know, freaking tall. I got intimidated. I was like, holy crap. But, you know, my experience in Alaska, it was one of the best experiences ever. I would think I was there for, like, 2 days. And it honestly, I remember thinking on the plane, I was like, man, I can't believe I'm going to Alaska. Like, I was like, I never pictured myself going to Alaska. You know, like, when you don't really expect something, but it actually happens. You know what I mean? You're just like, huh, cool.
Exactly.
Like, once I get to Alaska, I'm at the airport, and I'm like, am I here? You know? I still can't believe it. I was like, holy crap, you know, like, am I here? So I was, and then, you know, I see YT, his wife, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is awesome. We go to the venue because I arrived the day of the show. So, you know, when you're a little like jet lag still, but you're like, okay, cool. You know, I got to work. And I was like, holy crap, I still couldn't believe it. So, you know, I started getting ready for my match and everything, and once I put my mask on, I was in the locker room, and I was like, you know, when you pick through the curtains and you see all the people, you know, sitting there and stuff, and you're like, I'm actually in Alaska. You know, I was like, am I actually in Alaska? I still couldn't believe it. I was like, huh, okay, cool. Game time. Then, next thing you know, my music hits. And I'm like, okay, time to go to work. You know? When coming out of the curtains, I didn't expect people to be really big into lucha libre, you know, mass wrestlers. And I was like, holy crap, like,
yeah,
people
yeah.
are actually, they're actually into this, like, crap, you know? That day, my merchandise, you know, I literally sold almost everything. I was so grateful.
Wow, nice. Nice.
And pictures here and there, and, like, you know, people asking me, so you're really from Mexico? I'm like, yeah, I'm really from Mexico. Obviously, once you interact with the fans, you know, you get a little more personal. Like, you know, they ask you questions, you're answering them. And, you know, on the way back, I was like, crap, I went to Alaska. You know, I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. You know, that's forever one of, like, the biggest, like, memories and one of my favorite things of this sport that has given me, you know.
Right on. Okay. And then you've trained with some greats in the world of wrestling. Jose Gomez, Metalico, Profugo, Chicano Sr., even with Booker T, Akuma, and Sepetto Dragon. Tell us a little bit about some of those training sessions.
So, Septimo Dragon, he came to work, you know, a match with me. So he came in, obviously, you know, we're best friends here, but once, you know, we gear up and we're, you know, in our inner gear and we're about to face each other, obviously the friendship goes out the window, you know, because you're like, okay, cool, you know, if I slip, you know, you're going to beat the crap out of me. And if you slip, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. But throughout, you know, we used to go to the gym together. And, you know, we talked. We, you know, we did some drills. He was teaching me moves. Obviously, I was like, cool, like, this guy, you know, can't believe I have my best friend here, like, teaching me, you know, showing me, you know, how to do an amazing things, you know, business and that. Obviously, I was a little bit heavier on the heavier side, but once he saw me, like, you know, wrestle, he's like, dude, for your size that you have and you're like super agile, that's crazy. And I'm like, thank you. You know, I was like, obviously, I'm humble. I was like, oh, I mean, I was like, oh, thank you. Like, I didn't expect people to act to, it's up to this point, because I'm still on a little heavier side. Just to this point, it's funny and surprising that people react like that, because, you know, when they say appearances, don't judge people by their appearance.
Yeah.
So, and then with Booker T, like, I call him training because, like, honestly, I was at the UWE in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I was sitting with him, and obviously I'm trying to poke his brain, you know, like, give me all that you know, or, like, you know, give me your best tips. So I was talking to him. Obviously, next to him, I forgot to mention this, but Al Snow was there too.
Okay,
and,
cool.
So I was with Booker T. I know, same thing. Holy crap, I'm next to Booker T. I can't believe it. You know, like, you're like, you know, when you're like something really cool, you're like, huh, okay, this is pretty cool. And, you know, you're like, I'm next to a WWE legend. So obviously he gave me some of the best advices, tips. We're talking, you know, we didn't train, you know, physically, but he was talking to me and, you know, he was just pretty much, you know, like, sharing me stories and, like, you know, telling me things. And I was like, cool. Like, you know, that was like, the best moment, the best time I've had. You know, you're like, cool. Like, you know, I'm getting paid to wrestle, to eat. I'm getting paid to wrestle. I got a hotel. They gave me, you know, food. You know, like, it's amazing, you know, when you're like, cool, like, I'm getting paid to do this. You know, they're paying for the hotel, they're paying for the food, they're paying for everything for you. You're just, like, here to, you know, show them what you got. You know, like, that's, like, the best moment, like, the best thing that I love about the sport, because you're like, cool, wow, I'm literally just doing what I love to do.
Yes,
you know?
What a blessing. And then I forgot to ask you, when you were in Alaska, did you get to see the Northern Lights?
No, I didn't.
Okay, yeah, I really love
Alaska.
Go
to... Say what?
Go ahead. I interrupted you, sorry.
No, I interrupted you.
Okay, I was going to say I worked up there for like 5 years, been up there like 12 different times. Only one time was I able to see the Northern Lights on a flight home. It was amazing, my goodness.
Oh, man, that sounds really awesome. I unfortunately didn't see it. I did go to like a big mountain. They call it the Flat Top, where you can see all the city from like that.
Oh,
when you stand,
nice.
You know, on the Flat Top, you can see everything. So that was pretty cool. Obviously, I took a lot of pictures, but you know, I was with I was with everybody else there, but I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. Like, you know, on the drive when you go up to like to the Flat Top, there's like some rocky, like a rocky trail and stuff. You're like, you're feeling in the car, you're like, you know. But, you know, getting there, it was amazing. It was awesome. The fact that, they got to show me things in Alaska and stuff, I was like, holy crap, you know, same thing. I was amazed. I get amazed easily by everything. So,
all right, very nice. All right, so who are some of the toughest opponents you faced?
Oh, toughest opponents that I faced. It will be Akuma. Akuma from CMLO. He gave me a beating on my life. He did. I remember that was the first time I faced someone who wrestled on TV, right? Obviously,
oh, yeah.
When you wrestle for a big company, of, you know, especially from CMLL or WWE or Triple A, New Japan, NOAH, LMW, you know, you can name it. When you wrestle someone from those companies, obviously, they're going to give you their 110% because they're going to show you why they're on that, where they're at right now. So when I wrestled with him, I remember that, you know, in the locker room, we were, you know, chilling and everything and stuff. You know, I was warming up. I was doing my things. This was like in 2017. So I was like, so obviously when you get in your gear, you know, people obviously change how they look. So I first came out. It was a match. So I came out by the curtains, went to the ring. Next thing you know, Akuma's music hits. I swear to God, I imagine this man I thought that he got taller because he was freaking huge. And I'm like, holy crap. In the locker room, he didn't seem that tall, but now that he's, like, you know, in his gear, holy shit, he looks fucking scary. You know, I got fucking intimidated. I mean, I don't know if I can curse or not, but, you know, I got intimidated. But I was like, damn, okay. So, obviously, you know, when you're not mentally prepared for a match, there's a lot of things that come into play. You know, your psychology, where you're like, okay, cool, like, you know, how am I going to handle this? Obviously, everything came, you know, when, you know, I got blank space, so I was just fighting for my, you know, in a way, for my survival. I remember that he gave me those chops, like, you know, the wrestling chops. But I remember that he opened up my skin. He opened up my chest, so I started bleeding from my chest. Because, like, the hits were really, really, like, really hard. So, obviously, you know, the wrestling code, the receipts, if they hit you hard, you're going to hit it even harder. So, that's why I did. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sorry. I was like, no. You know, so I basically did the same thing. You know, he hit me freaking hard. I hit him even harder. Once I hit him harder, he even hit me even harder. So, I was like, huh. So, next week. Next thing you know, like, I was like, okay, cool. Like, okay, let's, in the back of my mind, I'm like, this man's freak is going to destroy me, you know. Obviously, I lost the match. And for the following, like, week and a half, my chest, it was so purple. so purple that, like, even putting a shirt on was hurting me so bad. Another opponent is Septimo Dragon, obviously. I wrestled him twice. First match, he beat me. Second match, I was more prepared, more mentally prepared. And I obviously, I won the match. And I remember this. I remember on both matches, he was hitting me pretty hard. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take it. So I hit him even harder. So we were like literally beating the crap out of each other in the ring. You know, once we're down in the ring and, you know, once we come out and stuff, we talk about the match. We're like, you know, what you think of the match? You know, he cursed me out, but like he cursed me out in a way where like, you know, kind of like a brotherly way. Yeah, you like, you know, we were like in the back with like ice packs. We're like, man, you freaking hurt me hella hard. Like you did too. You know, we're just laughing about the match. But you know, we're, you know, best friends, but best and do. And so I remember my second match, my first match with him, I was, one of the toughest spots that I had is I sent him to the corner and then I was coming charging into him. He hit me right on my chin. I, you know, obviously once you get hit, you're like, where am I? So I ran to him. He gave me a belly-to-belly suplex, but I landed on the corner, on the pads. That was painful. And then that was one of the spots, like, actually, you know, kind of hurt me. And then on the finish of the match, I was going to go for a frog splash because he was laying on the mat, on the ring. So next thing you know, I look down, and then I look up, and next thing you know, like, he was gone, and I'm like, where is he, you know? And then next thing you know, I just felt a kick on my head, and I'm like, where am I? So I'm slowly getting up, and I just see him in front of me, and next thing you know, he did his Spanish fly. And obviously, you know, that was when I, you know, 1, 2, 3, he wins. And I was like, okay, well, second match. The second match, one of the toughest spots that I never got hit with a 450 splash ever. So it was like the first time I ever got hit with a 450 splash. Oh, man, you had no idea. I thought I was going to put my pants as soon as he landed on me. Because I was like, because, you know, you're laying on the floor. You're like, you know, you're like, I was contemplating on life at that moment when he got me there. And I was like, man, what am I doing here? And next thing you know, I just see Septimo on the turnbuckle on the top. And I'm like, what is he doing? And I just see him flip in midair. And I'm like, holy crap. Oh, no, he's landing on me. You know? I was like, I just felt my ribs and everything, and I'm like, oh, man, this hurts. And then, you know, obviously, like, I was, when the ref was counting, 1, 2, and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to match. No, you know, I was like, you know, and I was like, crap. And then that was, like, the fun. He was a tough opponent for me that day. I won the match. I gave him a Canadian Destroyer. My other opponent, it will be actually Wild Lau. When we wrestled for the championship match, he gave me his all. He did. He, especially we had like several matches beforehand. You know, you're just like, I think I wrestled four times that day, and once I wrestled with Wild Lau, you know, obviously him and I we were pretty, you know, tired. I was hurt because of my first match. I got a little hurt, but you know, still, you go out there, you go wrestle. You have injuries. Forget about the injuries. You're there to, you know, fight. Tough opponent.
Definitely.
You know, he gave me a really good match. I'm happy about the match. You know, such an amazing person. Such a tough opponent.
Definitely. That was a great day. You know, he wrestled 5 or 6 times himself. It was an all-day event that you guys definitely helped fill the card. It was like a 6-hour show, so everybody wrestled numerous times for the fans. And it was really well-received and a really great day of wrestling. and a memorable day, especially for you. You won your first championship, the NGW Undisputed title versus Wild Lyle, which he was on quite a streak and looked like he might not never lose.
Like I said, everything, you know, everything happens for a reason, you know. I mean, he was on the streak. We wrestled several times. We were tired, you know. But, hey, it was an amazing day for me, honestly. It was such a memorable day, one of my favorite days that I'm always going to, you know, have in my head and think about. But, you know, when I become a grandpa, I'm going to tell my kids that. Next, you know, I wrestled a few times and I won a championship that day. What do you think of your grandpa?
Exactly. Yep, and, you know, we're proud that you're representing NGW. It sort of sucks right now that NGW is sort of on hold along with the other leagues that we're working with. World Underground Wrestling and Pacific Wrestling Federation, all three of us don't have anything going yet until next year. But I'm still working hard to try to get you versus Lyle in a rematch in other leagues around the country. What do you got coming up?
Coming up, I have a big project. It is a tryout for NOAH Professional Wrestling. It's hosted by Revolution in San Jose, California. So,
okay.
Obviously.
Yeah, nice.
Obviously, I am preparing myself mentally, physically. I've already, you know, when I first started trying to lose weight back after the championship match, you know, I was okay. You know, I have a few weeks before I lose a match. I mean, I go to not lose a match before I go to San Jose, and I decided to drop some weight. So right now, so I started 3 weeks ago, I think, or almost 4 weeks ago. I started at 245. Now I'm at 230. Pounds right now.
Right,
so I've managed to lose, quite some weight. Still going hard at the gym. But, you know, that's going on for me right now. And obviously it is intimidating because you're going to be able to, you're going to see people from, obviously I'm guessing they're going to bring people from Japan. Obviously they're going to try to put you against their best people. And, you know, a tryout, you know, they want to see what you have, what you can do in the ring. Obviously, with everything, you know, they're going to try to see your psychology, your in-ring psychology, your in-ring moves, your in-ring, you know, how you react and everything. So this is my main goal right now. And this is why I didn't take any other bookings or anything, because I was like, you know what? I want to focus on this right now. This is really important. And if I win, you know how cool that would be to go to Japan, to go, you know,
oh, yes,
go on tour with them, work with them. Honestly, I would love to do that. I've always wanted to go to Japan. So this is a really, really big opportunity for me in my life right now.
Definitely, and we wish you all the luck in the world. We'll be hoping and praying for you. And
thank you.
Yeah, tomorrow I think myself, Wild Lyle, and a few others are going to be working out at Fitness Quest in the morning. And then after that, I think at 11 o'clock in Tacoma, they're going to be training at the SOS training facility there in Tacoma. So we'd love to invite you down there if you're available tomorrow.
Of course, yeah. I'll go there. I'll see you guys there.
Yeah, get a hold of Lyle and make sure we can coordinate that. It'd be nice to go together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like
okay,
a good time.
Now what,
yeah.
What suggestions do you have for people wanting to get into wrestling?
Suggestions? Honestly, it is... Whew, that's a tough one. Obviously, work hard. If you have a dream, if you want to be a professional wrestler, do it the right way. Obviously, train hard, train until you feel that you're ready. Obviously, you're not going to feel ready until you do it, but I think, you know, learn the basics, you know, because obviously wrestling, it is a tough and demanding sport, physically and mentally, you know, because if you don't know what you're doing, you know, accidents can happen. You know, I've had a few friends who have, you know, died because of wrestling. So, you know, accidents can happen. You know, there's a saying, you know how you're getting into the ring, but you don't know how you're going to come out of the ring, you know? So
yeah.
If you're thinking about becoming a professional wrestler, pursue your dream. Like I said, do it right. Go to the gym. Go to a wrestling academy. Go, you know, get trained by a professional. And, you know, your trainer is going to tell you when you're ready. Because obviously they're the ones who see you progress day after day, or however times you wrestle, or however times you train with them. You know, just pursue your dream. Do it right, you know. Always listen to your body. Make sure that it doesn't matter what age you're at right now. You know, like you can be like, you know, when I started, I was 19 when I started professional wrestling. Or you can be, as you know, at Volcanica, we had people coming in who were like 50 years old, 60 years old, you know, trying to train to become a professional wrestler. You can be either, you know, like a year old up to 100 years old to train professional wrestling. It's never too late to do your dream. So, you know, like I said, go for it. If, you know,
okay,
you only
nice.
Have one life. And
all right. And then also, have you been on Turnbuckle Turmoil yet?
I haven't.
Okay, I'm a co-host on there with Sign Guy. Man, they've been going strong for over 10 years with over 1,700 shows. So, yes, I'm going to see about getting you booked on there. But one of the standard questions on Turnbuckle Turmoil is, Sign Guy would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
favorite coffee drink to drink? Oh, my gosh. I don't know the name of it, but I know that it has ice and coffee in there. I think it's an ice mocha. Ice mocha.
Okay. All right, right on. All right, do you have anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
No, I don't. any questions, any more questions that anybody has? Or
so, how do people get a hold of you for your merchandise or for bookings?
So for bookings, you can go through my page, Instagram page, it is Samurai del Viento. Facebook is Samurai Gonzalez. Samurai Viento Gonzalez, sorry. I'm also working on a website right now for myself where I can do, I can get bookings through there. You can go through viento206 at yahoo.com for bookings, or you can go Samurai del Viento. Book me now at samuradelviento.com.
And are you on?
I,
okay, excuse me.
Sorry. You can reach me through my phone as well. It is on my profile. So yeah.
And are you on Twitter or YouTube?
I'm on YouTube. It is Samurai del Viento. On Twitter, I don't have a Twitter.
Okay. Any other social medias?
I do have Snapchat. That is it's an embarrassing name to say because I was I did it when I was younger, but I'm also using that. So it's babyboy206. You can also mention me through there. I do have some, you know, wrestling stuff in the, on there too.
What about TikTok?
Oh, yeah, TikTok. I do have TikTok. It is Samurai del Viento.
All right, nice. All right, brother. So, hey, I wish you all the luck in the world, man. I'm so grateful for you to come on and to know you and share locker rooms with you, train with you, everything. It's like you're a great guy. I really appreciate you, and thanks so much.
No, thank you. Thank you for this amazing opportunity.
You're welcome, brother. Anything else you'd like to tell the fans?
No, that'll be it. You know, I get a little bit nervous on, you know, when I'm on the, when I'm live, you know, TV or radio, but no.
Or on the spot. Yeah.
Or on the spot. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's normal. Okay, brother. Thanks so much. And looking forward to seeing you here soon and doing some more green rooms with you. And thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for everything. Thank you so much.
All right. There you go, everybody. Samurai Del Viento, the NGW Undisputed Champion. We're wishing him all the luck in the world coming up here at the NOAH tryout. We know a few other people going to that. And we're really pulling for Viento there. And I want to let all you guys know, you guys can get a hold of me at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. I'm also Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. Also, the Seattle Mariners Organizational Report and the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday, noon Pacific. We'll be announcing next week's guest here soon. And also, I want to thank my number one sponsor, A-Plus Payless Handyman Services. Thank you guys so much. And I also want to give a shout-out to Wild Lyle for all he does for NGW, the NGW Green Room and social media and our marketing and all that. So we thank you guys so much, and have a good one. Appreciate it, and love you all, and thanks for the support.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, a diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones.